Hello, everyone. Welcome to Birth Your Vision podcast. I am so excited to have you back on the show. So for some of you who are joining us today, you know, the podcast is basically all about providing resources for women in business and aspiring female entrepreneurs who are looking for inspiration, guidance, support, and tips on how to, you know, start their business and also turn their vision or idea into a successful, profitable business. And so you will hear candid interviews with trailblazing women every week who will be sharing their entrepreneurial journey and also their successes and their setbacks. And so today we are going to be looking at an amazing topic, which is all about level up to move up. So what we want to focus on today is the underrepresentation of women, particularly at senior strategic level. And this is an issue that many organizations today experience, which means both women and the companies that they work for are missing out. And so in many industries, women are still underrepresented. And it's a challenge, especially, you know, it's really a challenging thing when it gets to them, you know, sourcing out sponsorship that they need for their professional advancement and also to be recognized for their talent within their organization. And so we're going to be diving into why organizations should have specific measures in place to support female talent. And you know what? I'm so excited to welcome my guest. So in this episode, my guest, Elizabeth Patala, will share ways your organization can actually take stock and maximize the potential of its female talent pool. So before I welcome her, let me just tell you a little bit about who she is. So Elizabeth Patala, founder of the Institute of Achievement and Excellence, she helps women quickly to get to the level up in 9 life areas so that they can achieve their professional and personal transformational goals to secure leadership roles and business opportunities. She also helps companies to better educate and promote their female talent. And so after 30 years in the corporate world and mentoring, you know, so many people along the way, she has decided to package, right? To package her expertise and her experience. And so she runs fantastic masterclasses, tailored programs, which are based on the 3 forces in achieving excellence, which is a fantastic framework that contains the 9 life areas that are crucial for achieving personal and professional fulfillment. And so I am so delighted to welcome Elizabeth to the podcast today. Welcome, Queen. How are you doing?
I am fine. Thank you for having me on your show. Very good.
They've been. Brilliant. Awesome. So thank you so much for, you know, getting in touch and connecting to want to be a guest on the show. It's a real pleasure to have you today. So let's get started. I just want to know, what was it like for you being in a corporate world?
It was a challenge. It was a success. It was a journey. It was learning. It was everything, to be honest. As you said, Hannah, I've been in the corporate space for more than 30 years. And in that time, I have worked in predominantly male-dominated environments. So for instance, oil and gas, IT, professional services, banking, finance. And although it has been very lucrative and very rewarding, as a female in that space, it has been a challenge as well.
Right. I can imagine because, you know, sometimes when we work in a male-dominated environment, sometimes we as women, we find, we try to find a way to kind of find our own ground and kind of fit in. So I can understand some of the challenges that you may have faced. And so, you know, when did you now realize that you wanted to help women to succeed, especially in the 9 life areas of success?
I have been helping women for a long time during my career. Most of it has been unofficially. It was either a small part of my portfolio or I proactively seeked out women where I could have helped in whichever way I could. Some came to me organically. And in that time, the 9 life areas came over a period of time, because what I realized, Hannah, is that more and more the problems, the concerns, the worries, the fears, the anxieties, etc., fell into one of 9 life buckets. And right. That's how that whole 9 life areas came to fruition.
Absolutely. So just tell us very briefly, what is the 9 life area of success? What is that?
Well, as you said so eloquently in your introduction, Hannah, it started off initially with helping females show up at their best, right, in terms of excellence. So a woman of excellence is someone who shows up at her best in every circumstances, regardless of her start in life, regardless of the resources she has, regardless of her capabilities. And by no means this is aiming for perfection, because perfection is unattainable. Right. Excellence is all about being the best you can with the resources that you have. And what I looked at is a framework. I wanted to create a framework that help women, you know, show up in that form of excellence easily, because there's so much information out there, and a lot of times the information is conflicting. And I wanted something holistic. I wanted something that, you know, really embraced who the woman is in her whole being, in her full form, because that's how we show up as excellence when we, you know, we look at the holistic picture. So in terms of the framework, there are 3 areas, 3 forces in the framework. The first one is your identity that deals with you as an individual. The second one is your connections. That's your relationships with yourself and others. And then the final point is your status, your quality and standard of living. And within each of those 3 life forces, there are 3 life areas. And that's how the 9 buckets come about, the 9 life areas. Yes?
Yes.
So advantage as a woman. The second force, which is the connections, I look at physical, mental, and emotional health and awareness. And then finally, in the status section, we look at the profession area or the business that the person is in, their finances, how they manage those finances, and then finally how they look at their future, how they plan for their future. So you can see it's very holistic in nature.
Absolutely. And I really love it because it's broken down into small elements. You know, you've got the brand, you've got the physicality of it and stuff like that, which is very important. And I think you actually cover a wide range of different elements to be able to work on, you know, individual according to their needs, which is really amazing. So what is it, Elizabeth, that actually drives you? What are you motivated by, especially in the field of work that you're currently doing right now?
You know, Hannah, I see and experience so many amazing women with amazing capabilities. And they, on many occasions, you know, I know that there are certain areas of our lives that we can take control and responsibility for, but then there are other areas that are a bit extrinsic and, you know, it's difficult to influence. And I think what drives me most is helping and seeing the light switch on, that aha moment when someone, I have a conversation with them or I have a workshop with them or just simply a dialogue, and they actually have that aha moment, and that one simple aha moment changes their lives and all of the lives they touch after that, and they just springboard into something they never thought they could attain. That for me is the ultimate reward.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're definitely right. And, you know, when we look at the companies in which many women work in, you were talking about working in a male-dominated company. And, you know, let's talk about what the benefits, right? What are the benefits of companies promoting female talents are? You know, what comes with that? Because sometimes you can be in a company and you're not promoted. And this can be tough for women who have, you know, fantastic skills and they want to get to the next level in terms of being a director, executive, or whatever it is that they aspire to be and the goals that they've set for themselves. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about, you know, companies promoting female talent within that organization.
Of course, because the benefit isn't just only for the female employee, it is for the company as well. And
Yes.
I recently read a report by McKinsey and Company in their 2020 report. And their figures, their stats were absolutely astonishing. What they were saying is that companies in the top quartile of that have diversity teams, they
Yes.
were 25% more likely to experience above average growth. 25%. Companies with a diverse leadership team, 45% growth in market share, and they are 70% more likely to tap into new markets. Those are massive, massive figures.
Absolutely.
And the sad part about that report is that women made up just 15% of those executive teams, and more than a third of companies have absolutely no female representation in their leadership team. And, you know, in this day and age, Hannah, it begs to answer the question, why?
Yeah.
If organizations are such a huge benefit, then why is it that there isn't greater representation and a more diverse culture at the top? Because the benefits to the organization are massive. Those are big numbers.
Definitely. I mean, you're definitely right, because the figures definitely speaks volume, right?
Yes.
I was looking up at some research. It says, you know, in the Fortune 500, there are nearly 13 companies run by a man for every one run by a woman. Just that on itself alone. And I think it's time for us to start having those conversations and looking at how we can also encourage our own organization in terms of ensuring that women are at the right place that they should be in an organization. And starting to look at ways we can actually implement those changes. So, you know, what are the ways that you feel women can actually start to open up and speak up in their own organization to ensure that they are no longer de-represented in their organization?
Well, Hannah, there are two facets to that question. One is, you know, extrinsic to the woman that, you know, are influences external to her that, you know, may or may not be areas of her influence. And she can, but she still has leverage on that. And I'm speaking about things like, you know, having a mentor so that her voice is heard more in the organization, actively seeking out sponsorship, actively promoting herself at work. And I'm not talking about, you know, shouting and saying, here I am, and being arrogant about it. But, you know, a lot of women are, you know, they lack the confidence sometimes to really showcase themselves, or they feel that something is not right or doesn't feel right and it feels a bit salesy. But what I would say to women is that, you know, just doing a good job is not enough. People have to know, have to recognize you, you need to be visible in the organization. That's part of the process of being recognized. Another so that there are some extrinsic factors. But what I work with women on are the intrinsic factors, the factors that they have most control over, and that's themselves. So things like, you know, things like confidence. When we're looking, a lot of women complain that they feel sometimes overwhelmed, or that imposter syndrome takes over, and they sabotage their own efforts. So that's the whole idea and the premise behind the three forces in achieving excellence, is what can you as a female do to really showcase yourself and in the areas that you have control, so that you can then leverage that and use that to influence the extrinsic factors, because you're going into it already prepared and ready to assume that role.
Absolutely. And I think you're right, because he also looks at, you know, an individual kind of gathering accurate data, you know, doing their own research to really find out, you know, how many women in their organization do they recruit, right? And also looking at the organization turnover rate of women, as well as, you know, what are the rates of women that has been promoted? So I think we have to definitely do our own research as well in our own organization to be able to have a clear starting point, you know, a place that we can actually start from to start to, you know, explore this area in terms of gathering data of the current situation and also ensuring that we are also putting ourselves forward. Like you said, it's all about having the confidence to be able to do that. And I know that sometimes few women do lack a bit of confidence. And I think also it's about looking at the organization, especially the senior team, you know, and looking at, are they really committed to supporting female talent the correct way, the right way? You know, what does it look like within that team itself? And are they even ready to support or set a good standard when it comes to gender diversity, which is very, very important, right? So these are all the things that people need to be looking at your organization and looking at what do they offer in terms of, you know, female talent pool, what is in place so that they can start to put themselves forward. What are your thoughts about that?
Absolutely, I agree. And not just only for when someone is part of the organization, but the entire process from the moment someone joins the organization, from the induction period all the way through to the eventual exit of that individual. How is the female handled? Do they have mentorship programs in place? Do they have specialized training in place? Do they have sponsors directly, you know, for that female? Do they have great representation in leadership teams where these women can be the spokesperson for other females in the organization? You know, what is their history in terms of promotion in relation to the men in the organization? And even self looking at the industry as a whole, what is the industry norm? What is the industry average? And how does the company that you want to work for or you work for measure up against that average? Absolutely. So there are many, many things that we as females can do and can look at.
Definitely. Yes. And I think you touched on sort of mentoring. I think developing a mentoring program within an organization for women is very, very important because many of us, we need a mentor. So having a good mentor that can help, you know, for you to become that aspiring leader to get you to the next step in your career is definitely crucial. You know, it's especially important for women so that they can actually build up their social capital at work, which is really important for them as well. So it's really about, you know, the support, gathering of data, developing a mentoring program, you know, in workplace, and also providing that kind of flexibility in terms of working, because obviously women, you know, we have so much going on with, you know, with running a family, trying to balance work and life and looking after children. And I think it's very important that, you know, organizations that they do offer the support of that flexible working, because obviously to get to the top, your time is required. But if there is flexibility, that also encourages and really enables women to actually, you know, seek that next level in terms of getting to the next level. What are your thoughts about that?
Again, I absolutely agree with that, Hannah, because not only women tend to take on the bulk of the responsibility at home and children, some females, they also have elderly parents that they are taking care of.
That's right.
You know, coupled with that, many women who are in those positions are going through a menopause or perimenopause period. It's a difficult time for a female. And I know sometimes in society, you know, remarks are made and it's slighted and it's made fun of, but it truly can be a very challenging time for a female when her hormones are all out of balance. So, you know, recognizing all of these things and building that into the ethos of how things are done in some form definitely can support the woman in attaining, you know, her goal in reaching that leadership level.
Indeed, I totally agree. So, you know, I know you mentioned something around confidence. So I just want to know a little bit more, if you can just tell us a little bit more in terms of what are some of the internal challenges you hear that women face particularly?
Oh, many. And just to give you a statistic, there was a study I read and it said 65% of women feel that their confidence is what stops them from going after leadership roles, 65%. And yet another study explained that men only need to understand the role, the dynamics of a role, about 50%, and they will go after a job. Whereas a female believes that if she can't do at least 90% of the job, she doesn't even bother to put herself forward. So all of these things, you know, truly inhibit the progression. In terms of the confidence, as you said, Hannah, what can help women in that space? You know, there are many different things that that females can do. And one of the things is that, you know, building a strong support system, a strong support system genuinely helps. And understanding that, you know, it's a work in progress. It's a work in progress because we are always learning. And it may not be right the first time, the second time, the third time, but, you know, one step at a time, consistent small steps, it's better than doing nothing. And it may even be more beneficial and more successful than one grand step. Steps don't have to be grand to be great.
Yeah, you're definitely right. Yeah, I think confidence definitely plays a role when it comes to so many things, when it comes to decision making. And, you know, it's quite difficult sometimes because a woman can be very good at that particular skill. But then because she lacks the confidence and the belief in herself, she ultimately feels like she cannot even embark on that journey. And so confidence building is always one of the major reasons, one of the major setbacks when it comes to, you know, applying for that role, applying for the next level in your career, or even starting that business or making that choice of, you know, that is a life transformation for you. So definitely confidence building is something that is ongoing. So do you have any training in regards to confidence building within the Institute?
Yes, absolutely. So there are many, many touch points. In fact, all through the program, what I focus on are tools, tips, techniques, easy to implement stuff that can help anyone attain what they want or what they're looking for, either within that particular aspect or in totality. So, for instance, one of the things we talk about where confidence is concerned, many people, you know, they fail to mention that a precursor to that confidence is courage, because it takes a certain degree of courage to be confident.
Definitely, it does. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly, because there are so many things that can knock a female confidence. It can be something as simple as microaggression, which is one thing that, again, covered in the program. And, you know, microaggression is something that is unique in itself, because in isolation, it sounds like it's no big deal. But when a female, you know, a woman is being hit with slight remarks every single day, for whatever reason, it wears and tears on you as an individual. It can it can shut you down. It can shut you down in meetings. It can shut you down for putting yourself forward. And bit by bit by bit, your confidence can take a hit. So all through the program, there are little things and touch points that directly help someone with their confidence, as well as there is a specific lesson just on confidence only.
Fantastic. And is this sort of part of the nine lives?
Yes, it is. So in the identity force for the excellence, there is a section. There's a section that's called demeanor, and in demeanor we talk about confidence, courage, confidence, and charisma. Those are the three C's that we talk as part of the demeanor module, where we talk about communication. So confidence is definitely a topic in there.
Great stuff. So can you give us maybe one example of how this framework actually applies?
Of course, my pleasure. The framework, I like to think of it like a dimmer switch, Hannah.
Okay.
Do you need all nine, or do you need to be fantastic in all nine buckets in order, or all nine life areas in order to be excellent? No, not necessarily. It's not about being perfect. It's just about, as I said, showing up in your best possible light. So in terms of the nine life areas, you can look at it over a period of a week, over a period of a month. The key is to at least have a touch point across one of the areas, you know, on a more or less consistent basis, so that you show up in a holistic way.
Right.
And that's the whole idea behind those 9 life areas.
Right. Sounds really good, to be honest. And so if someone is thinking about, you know, making this type of change, so what is the most simplest way to do it?
The simplest way, there is a free assessment on the platform, and the assessment asks a series of questions across all 9 life areas. So the beauty is that if someone were to do the free assessment, it creates a spider diagram, and that spider diagram will show your areas of strengths and your areas for improvement. I don't necessarily like to say weaknesses, your areas for improvement.
Improvement, yeah.
Then you can use that information, and you can do various things. One, you can choose the top tier program, which is called Achieving Professional Excellence. It contains all 9 life areas, and you can either do it consecutively or jump to the area that you need the most, you know, you need the most help with. Or what I have done is I have pulled out the individual 9 life areas and offer them as separate modules. So if you believe, oh, I only want to do, let's say, the physical health, or I just want to do the finance, or I just want to do the demeanor or personal style, that's a choice as well. But the assessment is the easiest way as an entry point.
Brilliant. So people have the choice to choose what meets their needs more better.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. That's good. So if you have one piece of advice to people out there who are listening and they feel that they have more to give, but sometimes, you know, they may have a struggle, or maybe they're struggling or not even getting the support that they need. So what would you actually tell them?
I will say to them, start where you are. Use what you have and do the best that you can. Take that and let that be your momentum, and take one step at a time. Again, it does not have to be big steps that will lead to success, but consistent steps, being comfortable with where you are, knowing and trusting that you are going to reach where you want to reach, but just doing the best you can with every single resource. Don't let an opportunity pass you by. If you're having that conversation with your boss and you need that support, let them know. If you've done a good job, go on LinkedIn and you know, post it out. Take the steps, but you know, take it consistently.
I love that. That's a great advice. So I know that you are a book junkie. You do read a lot of books.
Yes.
So what are 2 books recommendation you have for our listeners?
Well, apart from my book, Level Up to Move Up, which I launched recently, there are 2 other books that I can recommend. One is a very easy read, and it's called The Game of Life and How to Play It by Florence Shin. Really good book, very simple book, easy to read, simple concept, but very powerful.
Yes.
The second one is called The Glass Wall by Sue Unniman. And The Glass Wall is all about different strategies that women can use to help them get ahead in the corporate world. Because we have proven that we can break that glass ceiling. We've proven that. We've done that. We would like to see more of it, but we've done it. The challenge today is that glass wall, being in the same room, sitting at the same meetings, and not being able to either voice the opinion as strongly or have it recognized and respected as strongly.
Absolutely, absolutely. So what is the biggest takeaway you hope our listeners will take away or learn from today's podcast?
I would say to women out there, don't dampen your greatness. You know, keep going and help others along the way. Because we are all, you know, we're all just trying to do the best that we can with the resources that we have. So help others where you can, and don't ever give up on yourself. Never give up on your dreams, because your dreams are unique to you and there is a place for it in this world.
Definitely. So what's next for you, my queen?
What's next for me? to be honest, Hannah, I am very happy where I am in life at the moment. What's next for me is just doing more of what I'm doing now, reaching a wider audience, helping more people, and specifically reaching out to companies to get, you know, for them to implement these programs, whether it's my programs or other programs, but implement the programs that, you know, support and encourage the next generation of female leaders, because it's vitally important. I've given the stats and the benefit to the company themselves for doing so.
Definitely. So where can our listeners find you online?
They can find me at Achievement and Excellence. I know it's a bit long. Achievementandexcellence.com. All one word, achievementandexcellence.com. And there contains all of my social handles and my access to my LinkedIn, emails, everything. So just go on there and don't forget to do the assessment.
Absolutely. So I've just basically helped you to put the website on the chat so that people can actually go there and get in touch with you. It's been a pleasure having you on the show, Elizabeth. I have enjoyed every bit of your amazing strategy and tips that you've shared with us today. And so I want to say thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed the process. And how have you found the process of coming to the Birth Your Vision podcast today?
You're a fantastic host. What can I say? It's been effortless. It's been enjoyable. Yeah. And I hope we can do this sometime in the future again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And so to all our viewers, you are welcome. And so to all our listeners and our viewers, thank you so much for taking part and engaging with us in today's podcast episode. And so we bring the episode to a close. I want to say thank you to my wonderful guest, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for sharing your amazing tips. And until next week, join me again with another fantastic, thrill-blazing woman who will be sharing her journey and her expertise. And also, we're going to be having some amazing guests coming soon in the next few months in this season 8. So stay tuned and stay locked in. So to everyone watching and listening, have a great evening and stay blessed. Thank you so much, Elizabeth. Thank you for being a guest on the show. Thank you.
My pleasure. Bye.
Bye for now.